Hey, it is great to be with you here this morning in church. And a couple things we want to say just before we jump into the message. All of the things that we have coming up, all of our announcements we're excited about. The Rise Against Hunger event, we just want to say that's something that, yeah, Pastor Paul and I kind of pushed the clergy association to do, that we really wanted to try to do that. It's, you know, in our church, we've had this emphasis on local missions. And so we'd love to have some representation from our church at that event, being like that we really were the ones that pushed it, that we thought this was important. We felt people were being very divided at that point in time. And so we really wanted to do something that united everybody. So that information is in your bulletin. There's a QR code you could scan to sign up, or if you want more info or something like that. We'd love to have, like, you know, 20, 30 people from our church there. I think that'd really be great. And along with that, too, we really did have such a wonderful time on Friday with Pastor Jeff and Heather, and this is actually what I read this morning in my devotions at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And so that's what the scripture commands us to do. Those who love and care for us. It's talking about our spiritual leaders who Pastor Jeff has been. Can we just give some appreciation to Pastor Jeff right now? Show him how much we love him. And we hold him in highest regard. And one other comment I want to make, you know, we had a great time at the dinner on Friday. There was a couple special presentations. The board made a presentation. The staff made a presentation. Not all the board members were able to be there, but part of what was going to be part of the presentation is, in case for those wondering, man, are we doing anything for Pastor Jeff in this way or something? They did seek counsel from the district, and they've also put together just a retirement package for Pastor Jeff in that way that was going to be part of the presentation, and not with everybody there. They didn't go through with that, but in that formality way. But just so you're aware, too, that's something that has been put together by our church. If you're wondering, are we able to bless Pastor Jeff and Heather that way? They've put 30 years in here. So again, with our district leadership there that night, they made it very clear how we have somebody so unique in Pastor Jeff and Heather, how he has prepared us and prepared and served our church. That's what Pastor Fabian said. This is so unique in New Jersey. He's an example for us. He's always going above and beyond for us as a staff, for us as a church family. And so the church board has wanted to make sure that we're a blessing to him as he steps out and he's obedient to God's call in that way. So that's just another way that we want to honor him according to the scriptures, according to the example that's been set before us. And so we are excited about the message today. If you are watching online, it's great to see you. Comment and let us know that you're watching. We want to know where you're at this morning and let you know, say thanks for being part of our church family today. We're excited about the scripture, and even in this transition time, right, this is our scripture we're looking at today, Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Man, I can't think of a better person who exemplifies this verse than Pastor Jeff and Heather, pressing on towards the goal to win the prize that is in Christ Jesus that God has called us towards. And the reason we want to talk about this passage today, we had an awesome. We had a great time, Pastor Jeff and I, last week, a biblical prescription for transition. We're kind of continuing that theme this morning, but our meaning can get lost in transition. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, right? The meaning, it got lost in translation, right? You're trying to communicate something and it got lost in translation. I was kind of going with that a little bit. Our meaning can get lost in transition. That can happen sometimes in the midst of a transition. And it was Robert Downey Jr. that said, you know, he's played Iron Man for 10 years, now famous actor, you know, S-list actor. He was asked at the time when he was moving on from playing Iron Man and no longer being, you know, the superstar of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he said it's in the transitions from one phase to the next phase when people often fall apart. It's in the transition from one phase to the next phase when people often fall apart, Robert Downey Jr. said. And I think you and I, we know that to be true. No matter what kind of life phase we find ourselves in, that's when we can lose our focus or get distracted. You know, the Bible describes you and me, people. It describes us as sheep. And sheep are like frantic and wait a minute, hold on a second, what's happening, right? In the midst of a transition, what's going to happen next? I don't know what the future holds now. And we can lose our sense of meaning or our focus, what we're supposed to be focusing on, because things around us are changing. It makes sense. You know, I'll get back to my routine once the kids' sports schedule kind of like settles in, or once we unpack enough boxes, then I'll kind of get back into like my time with God, or you know, right now these things that I'm facing, once we got to just figure this thing out, we got to figure out our finances, I got to get my work hours settled, and then I'll really be able to plug in, and right, that's what we do in the midst of a transition. We can lose our meaning in a transition and lose our focus. So I want to remind you this morning what your purpose is. I want to remind you what your purpose is this morning, church. If you're watching online today, this is what your purpose is. And if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, this is your purpose. This is why you're here. Your purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. Your purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. I think it's so fitting that, you know, we asked Pastor Jeff what his favorite passage of scripture was and everything for Friday night and all this stuff. And Philippians is his favorite book. Philippians chapter 3, among, I think, your favorite passages, Pastor Jeff. And I just think it's so appropriate for where we find ourselves as a church and as individuals. It's just so appropriate where we find ourselves this morning. So this is our main text. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 7. We're going to go through this a little bit. If you have a Bible, you can read along with me. It's also on the screen. But Philippians chapter 3, our purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. And the Apostle Paul, he was a church planter. He was a persecutor of Christians. Then he came to know Christ. His life was totally changed and he's planting churches. He's in prison because he follows Jesus, and he's been preaching Jesus, and he writes this letter to some Christians while he's in prison. The Christians live in a city called Philippi. That's why this is called Philippians. And so, anyway, this is what he writes while he's in prison. He says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ, every part of him." He said, even the sufferings, even the death. Why? "I want to know Christ." Your purpose, the Apostle Paul writes, my purpose, you're watching online today, your purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. And so there's two things I want to highlight from this passage that we're reading today, and we'll get into a little bit more what this means even for our church. But two things that I see from this passage. First of all, that knowing is ongoing. You've been made to know Christ. I want to remind us of our purpose. There's lots of things we can think about. Well, what about this? What about, well, is this going to change? Right? But we're reminded of our purpose this morning to know Christ and to make him known. And two things to highlight. One is that knowing is ongoing. It's something that always continues. The Apostle Paul, "I want to know Christ." Go, wait a minute. This guy, he wrote over half of the New Testament. You know, most of the time when we're preaching from the Bible here, like we're reading the Apostle Paul's words. This guy, if there's anybody who knows Jesus, it's this guy, right? He's done miracles. He's gotten beatings and come back, right? This guy just can't stop talking about Jesus. And he writes, "I just want to know Jesus." So you're like, wait a minute. Do you know him or not? Like, that's a little confusing. Like, I thought you know. And I've heard Christians say that, "I just want to know." Pastor Jeff has said, "I want to know Christ." Maybe you're here today. Well, don't you know him already? What's going on? Yeah. Well, knowing, it's ongoing, right? Knowing is ongoing. It doesn't ever stop. You never arrive at a point in a relationship, especially, you never just say, "Well, I know them now, so I'm good." You know, sometimes we do that with people we don't like. We're kind of, I know them, so I think I'm good. I don't need to know them anymore, right? But really, knowing continues. And so in any relationship, that'd be the case. Rebecca and I, we just celebrated on Thursday 9 years of marriage. It was our 9-year anniversary. And, you know, I knew her for a long time. I knew her for about 10 years before we got married. So I knew Rebecca when we got married. But after we got married, guess what? I got to know her a whole lot more. And now 9 years in, I'm still getting to know her. And we have a child now. We have a family. So you know what? We're getting to know each other in a totally new way. And this is how we knew we made it to Thursday. What'd you do for your anniversary? We were sick and Noah was sick. And so we were just sitting across each other from the table with tissues in our hands saying, happy anniversary. We went out the week before and stuff. But, right, you get to know somebody. You're always getting to know somebody. Any relationship, you know that. Your parents, your siblings, your friends. Even on Friday night, the celebration banquet, you know, we heard so many different aspects of Pastor Jeff, hearing from different people. So, somebody, he performed a wedding for them. Somebody who was here before Pastor Jeff got here, right? There's his family. There's us, the office staff know him. There's so many layers to getting to know Pastor Jeff. Knowing is ongoing. It always continues. And one more, I think, really great example of this is something that continues to happen over time, right? That knowing is ongoing. Over the fall, a couple of us from church, we went on this biking trip around New York City. We had so much fun. I got to give shout out to Jim Matthews because he's the one that was really organizing this. And he was like, you know, Pastor Matt, we got to go. I know you love the city. We're going to have so much fun. And I was a little apprehensive. We did 32 miles. And if you've never, you know, done anything like that, biking, like that sounds like really intimidating. Like, I don't know if I can really keep up for 32 miles. But anybody who bikes, you know, that's really not that much, actually, for you know, being on a bicycle. And it's all flat in the city for the most part. So it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. We kept talking about it. Rich Dela Cruz was like, Pastor Matt, come on. If I can do it, you can do it. Like, you know, and it was great. And what was so much fun, we started in Fort Lee, New Jersey. We went over the George Washington Bridge all the way down the west side, and the river was next to us, and we stopped at all these different places. We stopped at the Intrepid, and we stopped at the 9/11 Memorial, and we got pizza in Brooklyn, and then we biked all the way back. We came through Central Park. It was like a blast. It was so much fun, and we're already talking about going again. But I'm bringing it up because I'm somebody, I love the city. I love New York City. People message me when they're going for the first time. Hey, Pastor Matt, hey, what do you recommend? I'm going to the city. Like, I'm there. I love going to the city. But man, going on this bike trip with everybody, I got to know and experience a whole nother side of New York that I never knew. Like it was like I was getting to know the city totally different. I'm going under bridges. I'm next to the river. I'm going to places I've never been. And Jim is like, oh yeah, like there's this lighthouse over here we can see. I didn't know there was a lighthouse. Like it was so exciting. That's part of the magic to me about New York. There's always something new to discover. And in any relationship, and especially in our walk with God, that's the case. Your purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. And so we've never arrived at that. And that's not discouraging. You may say, well, I'm never going to know Christ fully. No, that's the fun. That's the adventure. We're always getting to know Christ. We're always growing in our relationship with the Lord. And this is the truth of Scripture. This is why you have been made. I could talk so much more about this, but I just want to remind you today that this is your purpose. This is my purpose. And so Jeremiah chapter 9, awesome verse. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. Don't boast because you, all the Bible verses you know, all of my wisdom, or, you know, why don't people ask me what to do? I've got good advice. Why don't they come to me? You know, she should really talk to me about that. That's boasting in your wisdom, right? Hey, well, you know, we used to have a team of guys, and we would do this, and I had all these guys working under me. Yeah, and we would do this all the time. I got to tell you, that's boasting in your strength. Yeah, well, we've got a couple accounts over here. Well, we've got a few houses here. Well, we got a boat, and we go this. We're so able to get away, right? Boasting in your riches. Now, don't boast in those things. Don't boast in your wisdom or your strength or your riches. Let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Man, if you're going to boast in anything, it's that you know the Lord. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. We've been created. We've been designed to know God. Only He will satisfy us. And I had one more for us today. This is what I truly believe, that my role as your pastor, this is my role to help you to come to know the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, Christ gave different gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. So the reason that God has given us pastors, like Pastor Jeff, the reason He's given us pastors on our staff is to equip people, His people, to do the works of service. So I'm to equip you to do God's work, and that we may be built up, so that we would be, the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. That's our purpose. That's why we're here, is to equip you to do God's work and to come to know Christ fully, to come to know Christ deeper. Man, the more you get to know Christ, the more you realize only He satisfies, right? Dude, your phone doesn't satisfy. Yeah, it can numb you from stuff. It's true. It can entertain you, but like, it doesn't satisfy you. Money, you know, the more money you get, the more you realize it's nice to have some money, but it doesn't satisfy. It can't buy you happiness. It can't buy you health. It can help you, but it by itself just doesn't satisfy, right? Even a relationship, it's so wonderful to be with somebody, right? And all those things, but people are flawed. People are broken. People disappoint you. True, full satisfaction, life, purpose, it comes from knowing Jesus. It comes from knowing Jesus. And so knowing, hey man, it's ongoing. Mother Teresa said this, you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. We look to so many other things for value, for worth, for approval, for inspiration. But man, we don't have to look any further than Jesus. That's where we go for all those things. And when you know Christ, you want to know Him deeper. And that is what gets you through life. That's what gets you through the hard times as well. You know what gets you through a global pandemic? When you know Christ. That's what gets you through a global pandemic. You know what gets you through a family crisis? When you know Christ. What gets you through a pastoral transition, a time of change in your church? When you know Christ. And so knowing is ongoing. It's something that always happens. Here's the second thing that we want to point out from this scripture today. Knowing is ongoing. See where we're at here. But we also see this. Moving forward is intentional. Moving forward in our walk with God is intentional. Let's continue to read what the Apostle Paul writes. Again, I just think it's so appropriate that this is among Pastor Jeff's favorite scriptures, so appropriate for our church where we find ourselves. And so he continues in verse 12. Paul, the Apostle Paul writes, you know, not that I've already obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, hey, I didn't arrive at knowing Christ. I'm not done. You know, there's some Christians, they like to talk that way. I think they feel important or something. Like, yeah, been there, done that sort of thing. Paul's, I didn't get there, man. I don't know about you. I didn't get there. I'm still pressing on towards what God wants me to do. It's intentional to keep moving forward. What he's not saying, he says, forgetting the past, straining towards what's ahead. He's not saying this. Kylo Ren in Star Wars The Last Jedi, episode 8, what's he say? Kill the past. Bury it if you have to, right? That's not what he said. Kill the past. Everything we've ever done doesn't matter. Oh my gosh, and a change in our church. Like, is everything good? Yeah, kill the past. Forget it. No, that's not what. Forget what's behind. That's not what Paul's talking about. No. That's not what he means. Forgetting what's going behind. He's talking about being intentional about moving forward. Warren Wiersbe, he's a famous theologian. He said this, a divine dissatisfaction is essential for spiritual progress. a divine dissatisfaction that I'm not just okay with where I've been. I need to move forward in my walk with God. And so it's intentional. I don't want to be distracted by these things. In the Bible, when we say to forget something, it means to no longer be influenced or affected by. We're forgetting something, no longer to be influenced or affected by. So when God promises, Hebrews chapter 10, God says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. It's not saying that God, he literally forgot. He forgot what you did up until this point in time. Like there's something that you know that God doesn't know anymore. Like you have some kind of power over God. When he says he forgets our sins, he's saying, I'm no longer holding that against you. I'm no longer counting that against you. I'm no longer considering that a part of our relationship between us. So I'm forgetting it. We're moving forward from where we are at this point in time. When we talk about forgetting what's behind, it means we're breaking the power of the past by living for the future. I'm breaking the power of the past by living for the future. And so moving forward is intentional. What does that mean, moving past our past? Some of us, there are some of us who are here, Christians, or you're watching online, we can be so shackled by the negative parts of our past, right? Of course, our previous sins, the sins that we've committed. You think about moving forward with Christ. You think about knowing Christ more, making Christ known. I'm here to know Christ and to make him known. But you remember what you said. Remember how you used to act. You remember what you did. And you say, I'd love to move forward, but this is who I'm stuck with where I used to be. And this is who I'm always going to be. You're allowing your past to continue to influence your future. Our shame or our regret, of course, even life transition or a pastoral transition. Well, how can I move forward with Christ if I don't know what else is going to come next? I don't know what's going on. That's being influenced by these negative parts of our past. But there's also some Christians, we're supposed to run towards God. We're distracted by the successes of our past, not just the failures. And this sometimes could be just as bad, right? We're so thankful for the accomplishments that God has done in our lives or through our lives. You think about, man, I was able to give this much money 1 year to missions. That's amazing. Or I led somebody to the Lord, or I used to run this ministry, or the wonderful things that God has done. But then we can be shackled. We can be stuck in the past. Yeah, you know, I don't know why we don't do things like this anymore. Well, I don't, you know, where is it? Well, we have to get back to, well, I should be the one to, right? We get stuck in the past, even the good and the positive things. Or our financial goals, our family goals, our career goals. Well, you know, it's really important. Those are good things, but sometimes they can be distractions from our true purpose to know Christ and to make him known. And so if you want to move forward in your walk with God, if you want to know God deeper, if you want to make Christ known, it's not going to happen by accident. You're going to move forward with intention. It has to be our focus. What does he say in this passage? I'm forgetting what's behind, so I'm not going to be influenced or affected by what's behind. I'm going to use that to propel forward and continue to pursue Christ and to make him known. And what's he say? Straining towards what's ahead. Straining towards, I'm reaching with everything in me. Some of the language he's using, of course, athletic language here. You think of an athlete that's running or racing, or a football player, even, I know some people want to hate on a baseball player, but they use like every single muscle of their body. It's true. They're like way faster than all of us. They can still run really fast and all that stuff, right? Any sort of athlete, right? You're using every muscle, every part of your body. It's all of your mental focus to do this. Some think he might be talking about the Greek games. They would have chariot races. And if you imagine yourself on a chariot, right, the horse is going, whatever. And so it's leaning in this direction. It's taking all of your physical focus to be in control of this chariot. It's taking all of your mental focus to do this. I mean, you're straining, you're reaching. And he says, I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm reaching forward to what's ahead. I'm straining towards what God has for me. So moving forward, it's intentional. And what are we moving forward towards? I press on towards the goal, and I like how it said it in the NASB, different translation, a little bit of an older one. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My purpose is to know Christ and to make him known, and he's got a calling on each of our lives, and he has a calling on our church. You know, in the midst of transition, our meaning could be lost. Our focus could be changed. There could be other distractions, other things I'm nervous about. Well, what about my preferences? Well, what about the past? Well, what are we going to do about this? It's okay to feel that way. But we don't want to lose our focus, our purpose to know Christ and to make him known. There's an upward call that God has given our church. There's an upward call that God has given you to know Christ and to make him known. I want to tell you, everything else in your life comes second to those things. That's what you've been designed for. That's what you've been created for. That's not just the purpose of for the pastors. That's not just the purpose of the staff. That's not just the purpose for the church as some kind of like ethereal organization. That's us, the body of Christ. This is our purpose, to know Christ and to make him known. Somebody say amen. So here's what I want to do as I'm going to change gears just a little bit and we'll begin to wrap up. So what does that mean? What's that mean for our church? What's happening then? Okay, we want to know Christ, make him known. Here's just the last kind of direction I want to give us a little bit, what this kind of means for us. So we mentioned at the annual business meeting when the vote was there, and we brought up a couple times, I think, that we've put together, our church is going through something that the Assemblies of God really wants all of their churches to go through. They call it the Acts 2 Journey. It's a training cohort. You put a vision team from your church together, and it's awesome. I sat through it about 11 years ago, actually. I was still in college whenever I sat through it, and it was amazing. What I loved about it is you get with people from your church, and what you do is you look at the past, where you've been, and all the wonderful things that God has done in your church, and what you guys are good at, and all these things. You dig deep into the scripture. What's the purpose of our church? Why do we exist? What is God's call? And then you look forward towards the future and you say, all right, God, so given where we've been and what we've done and what we're great at, given what your word commands us to do, what do you have next for us, Lord? And so we have got a vision team. We've already sat through one of them. It's a year-long process. It's a couple weekend retreats and things like that. And so we really believe that God's downloading some things and he's speaking to our hearts. We would really love your prayers for those kinds of things. But when we say that, we're not saying like, oh, so everything's going to change, all this stuff. No way. What we're trying to say, actually, in fact, Pastor Jeff has led the way in this. Our church, he has led the way in our church, knowing Christ and making him known. And we want that to continue. That's the most important thing. Along with this process, we've been reminded of something that we see in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, that there are five functions of the New Testament church. We want to be like the church that we read in the New Testament. That's our goal. We want to be like the church in the New Testament. I'm not expecting you to, after today, to necessarily remember all five of these things. I think it'd be awesome if you did, because that'd be awesome. But I just want you to know, hey, so what does this mean to know Christ, to make him known? What's coming next? What's the future hold for us? There are five functions that every Bible-believing church, Spirit-led, Spirit-filled church, must be fulfilling. Pastor Jeff, for 30 years, has spearheaded and led the way in this church community in all five of these areas. And so no matter what, no matter where we go, right, no matter what's happening, these are the five areas that this church will always continue in as we want to know Christ and make him known. And I'll just talk about what each one of them are, and then we'll wrap up for today. So again, it's not a memorization thing, but these are the five functions. It's so important that we talk about this because, as we say, our purpose is to know Christ, to make him known. There are five functions that every church should have. Not every church lives up to these functions. Not every church is concerned with knowing Christ and making him known. The Bible is full of stories of people who started great and ended horribly. The Bible is full of stories that lost their focus on the Lord. It became about their preferences. It became about their righteousness and their ability, right? We could think of Lot. We can think of Samson. We can think of Ananias and Sapphira. There's so many people in the Bible that they knew the Lord, but their focus totally went off course. And so for you and for me, for us as a church community, our focus, it's a choice we have to make. Our focus has to remain on Christ, just like Pastor Jeff said in his announcement. He talked about how we revolve around Christ. And so these are the five functions of the church. Again, something that our staff and our vision team's thinking about. This is when we read about the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why are we talking about this? The five functions of the church, something that Pastor Jeff has led our church, Pastor Jeff and Heather and the team that he's assembled. And we're going to continue in this no matter what, because these are biblical principles that we see. One is to grow in discipleship, right? This is one of the five functions of the church. It says that, and I'm kind of going in order of the passage so you can kind of see where we're getting these five functions in this passage. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They met together in their homes, right? Discipleship, that we're growing in God. This is one of the five functions of the church, that we are to be growing. Pastor Jeff's legacy here of discipleship is truly undeniable. Just the video that we saw earlier of people who have gone into ministry, just that alone, people who are still in the faith because of Pastor Jeff's ministry, his legacy of discipleship is undeniable. And man, we want to see that continue, that we continue to disciple people in the Lord. I want my family to be discipled in the Lord, to know Jesus and his ways. And so that's why we have our ministry areas, youth and kids and young adults and all the different ministry areas. We've got King's Table, all the different areas so that people grow in their walk with God. That's why we have life groups. You see, they met together in their homes. They met every day. So it's not just Sunday church. We've got to be connected to one another. We've got to be growing in that way. And so we've got life groups that happen all throughout the week for that reason. We allow ourselves to be challenged by one another in as we grow. Iron sharpens iron, which means sometimes we scrape against each other, right? Sometimes, you know, somebody's going to say something and you didn't really like it. Like, okay, well, that's called doing life together sometimes. Sorry, okay, I didn't mean it that way, whatever. That's what happens, right, when we grow and we disciple. So that's one of the things that's happening. Fellowship or connection. This is the second function of the church. It says they devoted themselves to fellowship, to breaking of bread. They had everything in common. They ate together. What a wonderful picture of the New Testament church. They didn't just hang out and worship Jesus, but they really liked each other. They got along, right? They were friends. They had a great time. I mean, isn't that an awesome picture? Wouldn't you love it if you came to church and you loved people, right? Wouldn't that be great? I'm so thankful that our church is like that, and Pastor Jeff has led that way, right? And that we do the hangout events, we do the different things that we do, and our life groups are part of that, all that stuff. Man, that's one of the functions of the church, that we should connect and hang out and love each other, get to know somebody. You come here and you feel like you only know the pastors. Man, hang out a little bit more or join a team or something like that. Get to connect with some other people. There's some great people that are part of God's family here that God wants you to fellowship with. And we say that we're better together. We're not meant to do life alone. We're better together. What else do we see in this passage? They devoted themselves to prayer. They were filled with awe. They met together in the temple courts. So the temple, it's this huge structure. They went to the big corporate community gathering and they praised God. And so Sunday mornings, that is so important. And I'm a little bit preaching to the choir because I know we're all here. Maybe you're watching online. It's so important for us to be connected on Sundays because we worship God together. This is one of the functions of the church. We don't worship ourselves. We don't worship our accomplishments. We don't worship how great and special we are. We worship Jesus. We worship Jesus. And that's going to continue no matter what, man, that we worship Jesus. We exist to glorify God. And so we're in community. The fourth function that we see here is they served. The believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold stuff if they needed to so they could give to anyone who's in need. The church exists to serve. The church exists to do ministry. The church exists to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so same thing, if you're here in this church and you're not serving anywhere, there's so many serve teams you can be part of. greeter, usher, media, worship, welcome table, youth team, kids team, the card ministry. There's so many ways you can serve. I don't care how young or how old you are. You can serve somewhere. You've been designed to do that, and our church is going to do that. Even that Rise Against Hunger event, we're serving our community. It's a local missions thing. We're not expecting things back for that. We're just going to go try to be a blessing and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We exist to serve. We exist to do ministry. And so that's going to continue no matter what. And the last one that I'm pointing out in the passage today as we're going through the order says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Go, or evangelism, is one of the five functions of every New Testament church. I would say this is one of the most important things that has to be happening, that people are coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is so important in our church. That has always mattered to our church. Pastor Jeff, once again, I'm not saying anything that hasn't been happening. I'm saying this is what Pastor Jeff has led us in. Man, his heart for missions, your generosity in giving to missions as we support our missionaries. We prayed for our missionaries this morning, right, in Bolivia, that people would come to know the Lord. And so this is one of the functions of the church. It's always about people. It's always about souls. Pastor Jeff said that on Friday at his own celebration banquet. He gets up on the microphone and says, guys, it's about souls. It's about who's not in this building yet. It's about who's not part of this family yet. And that's always going to be the case here at our church. That's the legacy that Pastor Jeff has given us. And you better believe, man, that's going to continue. Love what Pastor Jeff has said. That which unites us, Jesus, is greater than that which divides us. Our purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. Would you come, Pastor Bonnie, as soon as you're ready? That was my last point, by the way, your video on on Friday night about the point. That was my last point. So your notes are complete. This is the summary slide now, so if you missed anything. So a little fun. I know it was a lot today, church. I know that last part, the last five, I know that was a little bit there, but I really believe that this is so important for us as a church to hear this, to know this, to be reminded of what's true. In the midst of a transition, our meaning can get lost. Our meaning and our focus can get lost on different things. What about this? And, well, I'm not sure about this. Well, when are we going to bring this back? Or what, right? We can focus on many, many things. But our purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. We read that in Philippians, man, and like Paul says, I press on to win the prize that God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, the upward call that God has given us, knowing God, it's always continuing, moving forward is intentional. And so, hey, man, no matter what happens, yeah, things change organically in leadership and those kinds of, yeah, that's going to happen, sure. But you know what? Our church will continue in the legacy that Pastor Jeff has left us here that is in the Word of God, to know Christ and to make him known. And we're going to continue in this five functions: to go, to connect, to serve, to grow. Which one am I missing? And to worship. All five of those are going to continue no matter what. Our purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. Would you stand as we close out this morning? If you've been watching online, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been awesome to have you. Let us know that you've been with us. Let us know what impacted you today from the sermon. We want to see you in person when you're able to make it out. Thank you for being here. But for those of us in the room, we want to close out this morning. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads and allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to us for a moment, just a moment of reflection as we've heard from God's word this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the one that satisfies us, God. It's you alone that satisfies us, God. You've designed us to know you. Thank you for the reminder that comes from your word, Lord God, that even if we know you already, knowing is ongoing. And God, that we can move forward from our past, the negative things, the positive things, God, we can take those things with us where they matter, but we will move forward in you, that we won't be limited by the past, but we'll be springboarded by the past, forward into what you have next for us. I thank you for my friends and my family who are here. I thank you, God, that you've called us to be your family for this time. Thank you for the leadership of Pastor Jeff and Heather. Thank you for 30 years of faithfulness. God, their legacy is undeniable. And God, we understand the responsibility to steward, to manage, that what's been entrusted to us, God, from your servants, Pastor Jeff and Heather. We thank you, Lord. And I just want to take one more moment before I dismiss us. Just take one more moment with the Lord. If you know the Lord already, just check your heart and check your attitude this morning, what you've prioritized. It's okay. I'm not trying to guilt you today. We heard from God's word. What have you prioritized over knowing the Lord and making him known? Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's other things. You take a moment and say, God, I'm reminded today of what's important. Knowing you, making you known, pressing on to win the prize that you've called me towards, God.